Hello, everybody. This is Brian Fortune at Farragut Square Group. Welcome again to another edition of Driving the Deal. On this week's edition, we will be focusing on updates to the No Surprises Act and where that is in the process, but with a particular focus on Round Ambulance. Our guest today is our very own Holly Stokes from the Farragut Square office in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you.
So let's just dive right in. So obviously we talk to people about No Surprises a lot, and it's usually in the context of certain services. So things like anesthesia or ER staffing or maybe air ambulance. But, you know, lately a lot of people have brought up ground ambulance, which is an area of interest, but kind of an interesting position to talk about it in terms of the NSA. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it is interesting because while Congress did have this interest in including ground ambulance into sort of the way it folded other specialties into the NSA, they ultimately were persuaded by stakeholders that given the complexities in state and local regulation of EMS, that they essentially needed to have a better understanding prior to legislation. And so instead of applying the patient protections and the arbitration process to ground ambulance, the NSA instead actually called for the creation of this new committee called the Ground Ambulance Patient Billing Advisory Committee, which essentially would take the time to go out, study regulations, study practices, study charges, and then create a report to Congress on what they would recommend going forward.
Well, that's interesting. So it's got its own kind of specific category. And where are we in terms of the committee? Like what have they done? They've had some meetings through last fall, correct?
Yes. So they met throughout 2023, where they essentially had a mix of private and public meetings. But most importantly, they had a public meeting on October 1st and November 1st, where they essentially took votes on what they're going to recommend. And so even though the recommendations aren't yet submitted to Congress, we have pretty good ideas of what they're sort of planning to put in that report. There were a number of sort of smaller bucket list items that they were thinking through, but I think what's really important is it does appear that they want to implement protections for patients, but that they don't want to follow the exact arbitration process that exists under the NSA today. So it appears the committee is going to recommend establishing a maximum cost-sharing amount for patients of both emergency and non-emergency ground transportation, where the patient cost sharing would be set at the lesser of $100 adjusted for inflation or 10% of the rate established. And they agreed that they want to essentially put a sort of methodology that is a stepped process for determining the appropriate out-of-network rate for emergency ground ambulance, such that the minimum required payment rate would be based on first the amount specified in a state law, then the local regulated law, then a mutually agreed upon rate between the plan and provider. And if all of those don't exist or fail, it would finally go to a congressionally set percentage of Medicare.
Well, that's interesting. And then what's remaining on the recommendations? Are there more recommendations they're looking at, or are these, you know, do these have to be formally adopted somehow?
So they need to publish this report, but there are a handful of items that are sort of still remaining that they weren't able to build consensus around in the last meeting. So very importantly, while they do agree on wanting to extend patient protections for the non-emergency transport, they are not as unified over what the appropriate methodology would be to how to get to that rate. Additionally, while they are unified in this idea that for emergent ground ambulance, the sort of final tier would be a set percentage of Medicare, they didn't state what that percentage would be. And that's somewhat reflective of the fact that the Medicare rate itself could be in flux in the next few years, but it sort of leaves this door open of how much Medicare plus plus are we talking about. And then the last thing I would note is while this recommendation did narrowly fail, there was pretty broad support in this idea of should we allow providers to use an arbitration process if they think the benchmark rate isn't appropriate. That did fail, but it was a really, really narrow vote. And it'll be interesting to see how they sort of present that to Congress, because it opens the door to could this potentially get, you know, put into some sort of arbitration process similar to the NSA down the line, even though there was this idea of we don't think the exact arbitration process is what fits.
That's interesting. What does this mean in terms of the timeline of these recommendations that you keep saying going back to Congress with their report? Mm-hmm. Any idea how long it's going to take the report to come out? And then does Congress have to basically enact new statutory change to adopt it, or does it just happen?
So the report should be coming out in the next few weeks. The goal is sort of the first half of 2024. Congress will then have to take, you know, very concrete action. They would essentially have to pass a new statute to do something. Given the fact that this is going to be a heavy lift and we have narrowly divided Congress, we have an election year, the odds of something happening in 2024 are pretty low. I think instead this will sort of set the ball rolling for considerations 2025 and beyond. The other thing that I would keep in mind with all of this is just as we sort of monitored what was happening in the lead up to the NSA, where states were essentially filling in the holes that the federal government hadn't yet sort of fixed, we are seeing a very similar pattern here, where more and more states are actually legislating their own fixes to ground ambulance balance billing. And that's sort of being reflected in the fact that the recommendation here is really follow the state. And if the state doesn't have something, we'll do something.
But basically, in the meantime, that just leaves ground ambulance without any specific policy, right?
Right. And it's a real patchwork system. So, you know, I think we're tracking about 14 states that have their own policies, but the policies are wildly different. So you have some states where it applies only to a public ground ambulance. You have some where it applies only to a privately held. You have others where it applies only to emergent, and some where it applies to emergent and non-emergent. And so it becomes this sort of headache to deal with how does this actually differ between each state before you even get to the question of, and then what's the methodology for determining payment.
And then looking at where the recommendations are right now, you've still been pretty positive on ground ambulance. So you're saying that overall you think the impact is pretty manageable to positive.
Yeah, I think that the overall way that the recommendations are trending is to the net benefit of providers. I think it is a very strong positive that they are not just trying to say apply the NSA blanket approach to ground ambulance. That would have been a really hard decision, not only because of the backlogs that the NSA is facing in the whole, but just because of the nuances that apply to ground ambulance. I also think it's a really strong signal that throughout all of these recommendations and meetings that we've seen from the committee, the primary focus has been making sure that rates are actually high enough to ensure access rather than any discussion of rates are too high currently. So that's a good tone. The one thing I would caveat is if a ground ambulance provider or asset is largely dependent on collections from the patient, they would be more at risk. Instead, it's going to be those who are more focused on sort of collections from the payers, where it's a little bit of a safer space.
When we look at ground ambulance, you know, we obviously have this NSA process of the committee that's playing out, but what else is going on in the space in terms of Medicare that's interesting?
Yeah, so that is a really interesting question, because while they're talking about this X percent of Medicare, there's this lingering question of what are Medicare rates going to be on the go forward? So essentially, what's driving this influx, if you will, is that the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018 essentially tasked CMS with going out and collecting data on cost, revenue, and utilization for ground ambulance organizations. And that data collection process was impacted and delayed by the pandemic, but CMS is currently going out and collecting data in, you know, this year that essentially will start to show factors including costs, services provided, response times, revenue. And then they're going to compile that data and give it to MedPAC, who will then report to Congress on essentially the adequacy of Medicare payments. Once that report is given to Congress, in theory, Congress could decide to sort of change the reimbursement model for Medicare to ground ambulance. It's too early to know exactly what that could mean in the sense of, you know, we don't have the data, we don't know what it's going to show. I do think there's some early signals that suggest the Medicare base rates are currently too low, which suggests that the actual Medicare rate could go up over time if Congress takes action. Beyond that, it's possible that they take a more nuanced approach rather than, you know, some net adjustment. Maybe they make a more permanent add-on for, you know, this rural versus super rural, which has been sort of this continuing temporary add-on. They also could make some changes to try to incentivize bringing patients to care other than the hospital, which has been an idea of how do we make this a more value add and not just a cost driver.
Yeah, very good. And while we have you, Holly, why don't we, let's do an update of kind of where the overall NSA is in terms of the litigation and sort of anything CMS has done in response to what's happened so far.
Yeah, so we have been tracking a number of lawsuits that are following the implementation of the NSA. You know, they vary in exact detail, but essentially it tends to be around a question of the weight that arbitrators give the QPA, the qualifying payment amount, when they're determining the appropriate out-of-network rate. There's also been questions around the methodology used to calculate the QPA, and there have been questions around batching that can happen and the administrative fee. So there have been a number of lawsuits, and they are generally ongoing through appeals processes. That said, there are efforts that suggest that there is some stabilization beginning to happen in the NSA. It's not to say that it is, you know, a well-oiled machine and that there are no backlogs or anything like that, but we have seen a decline in the share of cases that are being found ineligible for the federal process, which is definitely an upside. It means that some of the confusion between state versus federal interplay is clearing. Beyond that, we also know that the administration has put out a proposed rule that would emphasize one more proactive communication between the payer and provider before they get into arbitration. And two, it would essentially allow for the administration to help determine eligibility of claims if there is a large backlog, which could in theory cut claims that are ineligible from that queue earlier in the process. So it is a slow rolling process. There are a lot of things that continue to be sort of moving pieces, but I think there are some positive signals.
Yeah, definitely. We'll just have to wait as the process plays itself out.
Absolutely.
All right. That was awesome, Holly. Thank you. Quick update and a focus on ground ambulance. I would be remiss if I didn't use this moment to plug a few of our fabulous events and say how much I'm looking forward to seeing some of you listeners there. So first off, very shortly after you hear this, will be, of course, our HPE conference in Miami. That'll be on March 6th and 7th, out on the beach again. So Bring your shorts and your lightweight shirts, and we really look forward to seeing you there. It will be a very productive time. And then looking further out, those of you who are in the PPM or ASC universe will remember that we do a PPM ASC focused conference on May 15th and 16th in Nashville, which will lead right into our value-based care one-day conference, also in Nashville on the 17th, that Friday. So hopefully I will see you all at one of those. And if not, obviously we'll probably see you in your office as we come around and do our visits. So thank you all for joining. Thanks, Holly, for being our guest this week. And we look forward to seeing you again on another edition of Driving the Deal. Take care.
This material is for general information purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice or any other advice on any specific facts or circumstances. No one should act or refrain from acting based upon any information herein without seeking professional legal advice. McDermott, Will & Emery makes no warranties, representations, or claims of any kind concerning the content herein. McDermott and the contributing presenters or authors expressly disclaim all liability to any person in respect of consequences of anything done or not done in reliance upon the use of contents included herein. Copyright 2022 McDermott, Will & Emery. All rights reserved. Any use of these materials, including reproduction, modification, distribution, or republication, without the prior written consent of McDermott is strictly prohibited. This may be considered attorney advertising. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.